Isadora is a documentary photographer. She takes an immersive approach to photojournalism, working with her subjects for years at a time. Her passion is to document American social issues from a humanistic stance.
She is 23 years old and speaks both English and French fluently. This year at Visa pour l'Image, Isadora has blessed us with an outstanding exposition about juvenile incarceration in New Mexico. Let's listen to her.
In your last project about juvenile detention center in the USA, how did you meet these people you photograph? Why did you choose them? Or did they choose you?
I was eating dinner at 9 o'clock at night, and I saw this little kid, like 5'7", with big colored eyes, and I could only see his profile. And I knew right away that I wanted to photograph him. I couldn't even see the entirety of his face, but I saw him and I felt like I knew him. I felt this familiar, unfamiliar feeling that I get with the people that I know I'm going to photograph for a long time. And I started talking to him, and he told me that he was arrested for stabbing the man who was abusing his mom. And I sat down with him, and he started crying, and he started telling me about his mom, and he talked to me about his older brother, David. And he told me, I have a brother, he's 19. He told me, he's not a good guy, but he's not a bad guy, but he's my brother, so I accept him. And he talked to me about this brotherly love, this fraternal love. And I was so touched by it. I said, this is the story. This is the story that I have to tell. And that's how I started the project.
It must be hard to work with people who have such tough lives. Did you manage to keep a separation, some sort of safety line between your work and your personal life?
When I started, because I was so young, I didn't understand professional boundaries like I do now. So when I was working, when I was younger, I used to be much more affected than I am today when I photograph. When I started photographing in the juvenile detention centers when I was 18, I was very affected by what I was seeing. And when there were painful moments, I used to feel that pain. But when you're photographing, you can't spend too much time on your feelings because you're supposed to be interpreting what's going on in front of you, not thinking about yourself. So when I'm in the environment with people, I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about what is happening in front of my lens, not what I'm feeling. Usually after I'm done photographing, that's when I start to feel a reaction from myself. And when I'm there, I don't necessarily, I try not to think too much about what I'm feeling because it distracts me. But there are moments of such great suffering, like when Vinny and his mom are together during the visit at the juvenile detention center. That was a very hard moment to photograph. In this line of work, there are moments where it's so painful for me because I have my camera, my purpose is to tell a story, and I can't do anything directly at the moment for the person in front of me. So I cannot intervene, I can't change what's going on, that's not my role. So over the past few years, what I've done is I've grown to accept that my purpose is to tell a story, and I bring hope to this situation by doing my job.
How did you choose the photographs you wanted for this exhibition?
How did I choose? Well, I work with an editor, because when you do a project like this, an independent project, it's very hard to be the one to edit the work because you're so close to it. It's hard for you to be the judge of the work because I have such an attachment to the people in both families. So it's hard for me to judge which photograph is stronger. So I have an editor who looks over a batch of work that I bring to him or her, and then he or she decides on maybe 50 images, and then we discuss, and then that person narrows it down to 20 images or however many images it needs to be for a publication or an exhibit. With the festival, there's a group of people that edit and sequence the work that's exhibited, and they will create an edit of your work, and then you talk to them about the edit. You know, they showed me an edit before the exhibition, and there were certain images that I didn't want in there that I felt were not strong enough. They had certain images that they really wanted that I felt I didn't feel like they were good for the exhibition. So it's a conversation, and then there's an agreement about which images are shown.
Do you still talk to your subjects, to these people you shared time with?
Yeah, I'm continuing with both of them. So in January, it's going to be 6 years of working with both families, which when I met David in 2012, he really didn't like me. He thought I was annoying and I was a nuisance, and it took about a year for him to trust me. So I had to go to their apartment and sit for a few hours with him and not take any pictures sometimes, because he was so paranoid that I was a police officer or a social worker. So there were a lot of problems. And when I started working with the family, they were living in a disadvantaged neighborhood in Albuquerque with a lot of crime and a lot of poverty, and people were very scared of me because they didn't know who I was. So I had to spend a few months convincing people that I was a journalist and that I wasn't going to expose their illegal behavior. So I think people don't realize when they see this kind of project that it's not just gaining the trust of the people in the photos, it's also gaining the trust of everybody around them. Because I don't want their life to change because I'm there, so I have to make sure that I don't impact everybody around them and the way that they are seen by their own community. So I had to make everybody around them comfortable in order to be able to do the project. Now, when I go, it's much easier to work with them because people see me as a part of that family now, and I'm trusted. So I had to show that I was committed, that I was loyal, and that I was honest. And I think after about a year, David realized that I have a lot of empathy for them, because I was sitting with him and I was listening to him for about 6 hours in a motel room, and he told me, "It was really great to see you." And when he said that in 2013, and I had already known him for a year or a year and a half, that's when I knew that I could photograph. And that was the moment where I felt the shift, that I went from being a nuisance to a welcomed person.
You were talking before about the part your relationship with your boyfriend played in your choice of topic. Does he know about your work? Did you show him your pictures?
No, never found him. Never found him. I wanted to show this project, the Vinnie and David project, is in a book called Family Photography Now. It's a collection of photography from the last 10 years about family. And I wanted to give him that book. And I went to his old address, and the people living there are not his family. And then I called a few other people associated with him back then, and they said they didn't know what happened. So I don't know. I tried to find him in the system because I have access to that as a journalist. And I couldn't find anything because he has a very common name. So there were hundreds of people with the same name and a similar birthday. So I don't know what happened to him, but I hope one day he sees my work somewhere and knows that it was partly inspired by him.
They seem to let you in, even during very personal or intimate moments. How did you succeed in making them trust you? For example, there is one picture where we see Davy and his girlfriend. Where were you at that time?
Yeah, it's that was an interesting day because they hadn't seen each other for a long time because he had been incarcerated. So he rented this room to be with her, but obviously I'm there the whole time. And so is their child, who is sleeping and awake. And we were in the room for most of the night, and the television was on, and some other people were in the room too, walking in and out, and I was just there. And after a certain amount of hours, I was seated sort of close to the door on a chair. And, you know, because I was there for so many hours, they just stopped paying attention to me, and they hadn't seen each other in so long. There was such an intensity, and I knew that that moment it's very important to the story, because I feel like one of the fundamental themes of the work is this love-loss paradox, where these people are trying to have a restored family, even in this very painful situation, in this fractured situation. They're trying to have love despite all of the loss in their life. So it was important to me in the story to have this intimate moment between them, to also show them as two young people who are in love, because that is a part of the story. And that's a part of the story that a lot of people can relate to. So I was there for a number of hours, and they were in it, and it just happened, like many of the other moments.
Do you choose your subjects, your themes, or is it imposed by someone else, like a magazine, newspaper, an agency? Are you free to choose what you photograph?
It's a good question. It's both. It's a mixture of both. So sometimes a publication will contact me and say, we have a family, a woman, a person that we would like you to follow for a few weeks, or sometimes a few days, not a lot of time always. And then sometimes I'll contact a publication that I feel is appropriate for a story, and I'll say, I found this story, I can work on it for a week or a few weeks, will you sponsor the story? And then with the personal projects, I will work on the projects for a few years, and then I will talk to different publications about publishing the images. With Vinny and David, I didn't want to publish too soon, so I waited almost 3 years to publish the first installment. And the first installment was published in Time in 2014, in late 2014. And that was a very hard first publication to do of the work, because there hadn't been any images of face visible photographs of incarcerated youth for 12 years in any American publication. So every publication has a set of lawyers, and when you're going to publish a sensitive article, they talk to their lawyers before publishing the article. And at Time, all the editors wanted to publish the work, but the lawyer didn't want to publish my project because he said that it was such a, it might offend people, it's too much for the American public to see this story. And I told him that it is absurd not to publish this story, because Time magazine, they publish pictures of kids suffering all over the world, kids suffering in faraway war zones, and that it's absurd not to publish state created child torture in the U.S. And when I responded and I told him that, he finally accepted it and it was published. And since then, it's been fairly easy to publish it worldwide. But sometimes you have to fight for a story, because some publications are scared to show certain stories.
Was it awkward between you and your subjects at first to take pictures of people the way you do?
Oh, yeah, it's less awkward now that I have more experience about how to be around people. But at the beginning, it was very awkward because I was awkward. So I've just learned how to communicate and make people feel comfortable. And sometimes I have to do that very quickly when I'm working for a publication, because I don't have months to create trust with the person. So I have to learn I'm in their space. How do I interact with them? How do I make them feel comfortable with me? So it's a skill set, and I don't think it's really something you can learn at school. I think it's something you learn in your own life. I learn a lot in my private life that I then use in my work. And I think what I've learned in my work, I use in my private sphere. I think I've become a much more accepting person because of the work that I do, a much more understanding person of the people in my life. I have a much more complex way of looking at the people around me. So how to make things less awkward, or was it awkward? It was awkward when I first started doing this work, but now I have certain skills of communicating with people when I'm working so that there isn't too much silence. And then when there is silence, it's part of the process and I'm just there observing, sitting with them. So I think this work is, it's so much more about personality than about photos. I think photos are 10% and the rest is learning how to listen, learning how to sit in uncomfortable situations, learning what vulnerability is. I think that's the biggest part of this. I think at the core, this work is knowing what vulnerability is and how to sit in it, how to accept being vulnerable, and how to sit with people when they are vulnerable.
Have you ever put your life in danger to take a picture?
I think that whenever I'm working as a journalist in certain neighborhoods, my life is always in danger. I think that's, it's a really great question because we often imagine, and even in the photojournalism world, which is so macho, and you know, there's sometimes this sort of competition of where they're sort of competing with each other of who has been in the more dangerous situation and who has been more at risk, this kind of bravado, machismo culture, because it's a male-dominated field. But what people don't realize is that those of us who are reporting in situations that are dangerous, that are in the society, we are just as much at risk. Yes, we're not at risk of being hit with a bomb, but we're at risk of so many other situations and other violences. So when I'm working in an at-risk situation, it's very stressful because I'm trying to create art, I'm trying to create material that is aligned with the story, that honors the story, while also having to think about my personal safety. And in the US, when you work in certain neighborhoods, most people are carrying guns, and you don't know who has a gun. And when you're working with a family where one person like David was in a gang, anybody can come to the door and start shooting. And when I'm working with a family, that means at any point a fight can happen. So there are risks at all times. I just learn how to manage it from one situation to another. I think a lot of people expect that having photographed in a prison was very dangerous, but I've actually never had a problem in any prison with my safety. The stereotype is that I would go into a space like that as a woman journalist and I would be threatened, but that's never happened because the people in there are so intrigued that somebody cares, that they're not thinking about aggression. They're impressed. They want to know about you because you care. So of course, there are dangerous situations in the field. You learn how to minimize that danger with different tactics, but you just have to surrender, you know, because what's going to happen is going to happen. And so much of the work that I do is out of my control. And I think what I've learned throughout the years is that I'm powerless. I'm really powerless over what's going to happen around me. And it's about being attentive. And it's also about learning what the limit is too, right? Like there are moments that I need to be there. Perhaps they're violent, but I need to be there because they're part of the story. But it's also learning when to leave. Like when is too much? When is it too much for me to be there?
What are you planning for your next project?
What am I planning for my next project? Well, I'm working on many different projects right now. I'm working on a project about incarcerated moms, and you can see some of the work on my site. It's under the parent-child visits. It's about visits between incarcerated parents and their kids in adult prisons. And the work on incarcerated moms is going to be used in the Congress in Washington in a few months to hopefully change a law, to create a law to give more dignity to incarcerated women. So I'm continuing to work on that to make it stronger, to have it presented in front of all of these lawmakers. So hopefully it passes. It would be amazing for the photos to be used to create direct change for the community. And I'm working on, I'm finishing a film about developmentally disabled couples. So what it is, what it's like to have romance when you have a mental disability. When I go back to the U.S., I'm working on a project about women's health and access to services right now, because a lot of clinics for women's health are being closed.
Thank you so much, Isadora, for answering our questions about your project and your work as a photojournalist.
If you have any other questions, you can add me on Facebook and send them to me there. I'm happy to respond. You can follow me on Instagram, and I get all the messages that get sent there. So I'm more than happy to continue talking to you. My email is on my site. Please don't hesitate to contact me. You've been a really great group, and I appreciate it.